So today, the second reading of Parshas Veschanan turns out is actually the Torah reading for tomorrow, unless Mashiach comes this afternoon, the Mitzvah Shem. But if Chas V'Shalom, tonight will be Tisha B'Av, and tomorrow will still be Tisha B'Av, we're going to read Kisoilid Bonim Uvnei Vonim, which is found in the fourth chapter of the book of Deuteronomy, which is into the second reading of Parshas Veschanan. And we're going to pick it up at verse 25. Ki seilid bonim uvnei vonim. When you shall give birth or beget children and children's children, also known in English as grandchildren. V'neshantem ba'aretz, and you will grow old in the land. V'hishchatem, and when you grow old in the land, and you will become treacherous. You will veer off the path. You will destroy everything that is supposed to be yours. And this destructive behavior will be quantified with the creation of idols, crafting of idols. V'asisim pesel, tumunas koil. You make an idol, a picture of whatever. It's not important what kind of idol it is. The point is you made another deity. V'asisim hara b'nei Hashem elikecha. You have done evil in the eyes of Hashem, your God, l'hach isoy. To infuriate him. Moshe Rabbeinu goes on to say, Ha'idoisi bochem ha'yoymes ha'shamayim v'oretz, I bear to witness today heaven and earth, ki avoid toivedun maher mi'al ha'oretz asher atem ivrimes ha'yardin shama. You will swiftly be ejected, taken away from the land, which you are going across the Jordan in order to inherit it. Lo yisa'arichun yomim aleha. You will not grow old, you will not have length of days, ki shamed tishamedun, for you will be absolutely destroyed. A very terrible prophecy. And then the Torah goes on to say, v'hefetz Hashem eschem agoyim, Hashem will disperse you amongst the nations, nish'artem misei b'mispar agoyim, will be just a tiny number of you left in the places that Hashem will take you, and over there you will serve other idols, and so on and so forth. However, in the end, you will seek out Hashem, you will do tshuva, and eventually you will come home after you have done tshuva. Okay, fine. So let's focus now on these psukim. The psukim, verse 25, is preceded by Hashem Elokecha Eish Eichluhu, the Lord God is a consuming fire, Kelkana, a God of vengeance. So it's not going to be okay if you just do whatever you want. Judaism is not an elective, as people like to say. It's not, if you want to do it, you do it. It's nice, beautiful. So it's, you can make the most of life if you want. No, it's not like that. God actually has expectations of us, and if we don't do what Hashem wants, we get ourselves into some serious trouble. He's not going to look the other way. And that's really what sets the stage for verse 25. So, v'neshantem. The word v'neshantem is an unusual word. It's so unusual that Rashi tells us in Pshuta Shel Mikra, he shares with us a remez. Remez is not commonly shared by Rashi. Remez is an allusion. Rashi's pshat. And yet Rashi feels compelled to share a remez here, to share something this could allude to, rather than simply telling you the meaning of the word, which actually we know the meaning of the word. It's not a difficult word. But I guess it's an unusual word. And Rashi feels compelled that he must share with you that the word v'neshantem is romaz lahem. With this word, by using this slightly unusual word, he hinted, or indicated to the Jewish people, sheyiglu mimeno, that they would be exiled from the land, l'soif shmoina meis v'chamishim v'shtayim shana. That the maximum tenure in the land would be 852 years. And if you do the gematria on the word v'neshantem, you guessed it, you get 852. And that's the gematria of v'neshantem. Okay, now Rashi says, however, even though the Jewish people had a cap, a maximum of 852 years, should they behave in a sinful way, v'hu, but Hashem, in his mercy, did not wait until the time expired, but rather, Higdim, Hashem, in his mercy, accelerated the process. He made it happen earlier. And that's a merciful thing. L'seif, Shemoyna me'ez v'chamishim shana, at the end of 150 years. For it was at the conclusion, 150 years after the, 800, pardon me, 850 years after the Jewish people arrived in the land of Israel, that the Galut took place and the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. The Higdim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, preceded or accelerated this process, shtei shanim, by 2 years, levinoi shantim, 2 years before the vinoi shantim. Vinoi shantim is supposed, that's the capsule, that's the maximum amount of time if we behave in a sinful fashion. That's 852 years. However, Hashem did not wait 852 years. He accelerated the process and he brought us into Galus 2 years prior, 2 years sooner. Why did he do this? What's the mercy? Why couldn't he stay the execution? Why couldn't he withhold or restrain the punishment until it could wait no more? So Rashi explains, Kadeshalay Iskayim Bahem, so that it would not be fulfilled with them the fullest brunt of punishment that is articulated and delineated here. As it says, Ki Aved Toivedun, you will surely be lost. Vizeo, and surely be lost, that would be very bad. So therefore Hashem brought it on earlier so that we shouldn't be fully lost. And now Rashi tells you, we cross reference Vizeo Shanemar, this is the meaning of what it says in the ninth chapter of the book of Daniel. Vayishkoid Hashem al Hora'ah, that God was diligent, or he was he hastened, accelerated the evil. Vayivieha aleinu, he brought it upon us. Why? Ki tzadik Hashem elikeinu, because God is righteous. Because of God's righteousness, he brought this sooner. He hastened it, and the reason he hastened it was tzedaka asa imanu. He did great kindness with us. What was the great kindness? Destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, the slaughter of millions, that was a great kindness. Doing that sooner is a kindness? How is that a kindness? Says Rashi, this is a kindness because Shemir Lahavia, he brought the evil Shtei Shanim L'fnei Zmana, 2 years before its time. And this is what's brought on elsewhere. Shafach HaMasai Al Eitzav Balavonim, he spilled his anger on stone and on wood, but not on us fully. Had we remained in Eretz Yisrael the 852 years, then the punishment would have been fulfilled in its fullness. And had it been fulfilled in its fullness, it would have been a much more severe consequence. So therefore Hashem decided to accelerate this process, to hasten the exile, to pour his anger on wood and stone, and not that it unfurl all his fury against us. And that's what he says after. Ha'adaisi b'chem. Ha'adaisi b'chem, Moshe Rabbeinu brings together, so to speak, heaven and earth as witnesses. And he says, Hinni mazminam liyes edim. I am calling them to witness. Sheyaseisi b'chem, that I gave you a warning. This didn't come out of the blue. All right, so a few interesting little details here. With regard to the concept of kisoilid banim uvnevanim v'neshantim. Why did we begin by saying when you give birth, when you beget children and grandchildren? Why is that the beginning? Obviously, if we're going to live 850 years, we have to be replicating ourselves. We have to be having children and grandchildren, or we wouldn't be around 52 years later. Why does this whole terrible prophecy and this very harsh and stringent warning, why does it begin with something good, with having babies? So the Rashi doesn't answer this question, but the Chizkuni does. And the Chizkuni says, I'm not afraid of the fathers of Hashem. I'm not afraid of the ancestors, the people who saw the hand of Hashem, who saw the miracles. They're kind of like guaranteed, even though we kvetched and complained. A generation will go into Israel now. They still ate manna. They still had the Be'er Shel Miriam. They will remain on the straight and narrow. Even if they slip and slide, they'll remain tethered. He said, it's those children I'm afraid of. The children's children. As time goes on. These children's children that did not see any of these things, Moshe Rabbeinu said, that's what I'm afraid of. I'm not afraid of the today. I'm not afraid of the tomorrow. I'm afraid of what happens after tomorrow. I'm afraid of a new generation who doesn't see, who doesn't know what you guys see and know. That's what I'm afraid of. In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu is speaking to a group of people who had experienced the miracles of Hashem on a daily basis. And as such, Moshe Rabbeinu says, I'm not really worried about you guys. I understand that you guys will do in the end what more or less what's right. You won't entirely forget Hashem. But the question is, does it have staying power? What will happen in the future? We have children, and as children have children, generations go on. That's my fear, that's my concern, and that's how Moshe Rabbeinu begins with the words, Kisel banim uvnevanim, when you beget children and grandchildren. The Kliyakar says that you might think we're being so prosperous, we're being so prolific. We have children, we have grandchildren. Hashem loves us. Life is great. Even though we're doing all the wrong things, Hashem still blesses us. And we're still increasing in number, and we're having future, we're begetting generations. And this is a sign that Hashem has kind of, you know, he's dropped the ball on us. He's not going to make any demands of us. If we want to be good Jews, we could be good Jews. If we choose not to, God understands too. The blessings were coming for free. That's what sometimes people think. The prosperity comes without any strings attached. We're having children, we're having grandchildren. Not so. Not so says Kli Yakar. Moshe Rabbeinu warns the Jewish people, you're having many children, and that explains the word v'neshantim, you grow old. Like, you know, you grow old, you get comfortable. This is our land. Nothing could ever happen over here. Oh, don't ever say that. V'neshantim ba'aretz, you get very comfortable, you get become a fat cat, as they say, and then v'yishchatem, and then you behave in a way which is destructive, spiritually destructive. You enter into an arena of deprivation, and you make these idols. Then terrible things are going to happen. As verse 26 continues on, the Chizkuni says something very interesting about the words v'neshantem. He says, when you're there, kishe titiyashnu, when you get old. When you get old means you get comfortable. See, it's not possible for us to be exiled anymore. How could that be? We're here 800 years already. Now somebody's going to exile us. We're here. It's fait accompli. It's a finished business. At this point, God can't eject us from the land anymore. We become safe. We become secure. We think it's impossible for our sun to set. And he says, that's exactly when you get into big trouble. When you think such foolish thoughts, then chas v'shalom, you behave inappropriately, and then you will find out that your guarantees are no guarantees. And Hashem calls to witness, Moshe calls to witness Shemayim Va'aretz. Ibn Ezra says, Shemayim Va'aretz will always be there. And you'll always see them. You look at the earth, you look at the heavens, you see the heaven and earth. You see the heaven and earth? The promise is like heaven and earth. It's always going to be there. The Rashbam says, we have this notion that when somebody does something wrong, that the witnesses themselves carry out the punishment. That if it's capital punishment, the witnesses themselves, they're the ones who brought the witness, they themselves have to come and, so to speak, pull the trigger. They have to do what it takes. And so Rashbam says, what happens? Where does it begin with? It begins with famine. And where is famine? How does famine happen? The heavens are restrained. There's no rainfall. And like we say in the Shema, every single day. So that's the witnesses. The witnesses that Moshe Rabbeinu calls, the heaven and earth, they, the heaven and earth, will not give the rainfall. They will not give the produce and the yield. Rabbeinu Bechaya interprets this in a totally different spiritual way. He says, I call to witness Shamayim, is the heavenly creatures, the Malachim, and I call Haaretz, I call humanity to witness. The humanity and the angels are both bear witness that when we behave inappropriately, it will not go down. Hashem will not look aside, and in the end, we the Jewish people will bear the terrible consequence. And unfortunately, looking back, that's exactly what happened. This is the tragedy of our time. We were ejected from the land a first time and then a second time. And there's only one real guarantee and only one way for us to remain healthy and wealthy in the Holy Land of Israel, and that is to listen to Hashem and to follow by His ways. Now here's the question. So v'neshanta means 852 years is supposed to be there. So God in His kindness said, if I let the whole 852 years unfold, what will happen? Then Avet HaVeda will have to take place. There will be a full destruction. I don't want a full destruction. So therefore, He accelerated the process and the exile began 2 years sooner. The Golos came after 850 years. So the Rebbe asks a simple question. 2 years is a long time. It's a long time, 2 years. Why 2 years? Why not a year? Why not a month? Why not a week? 2 years? We're talking about hell. We're talking about horror. We're talking about mass murder. We're talking about the destruction of Israel. We're talking about terrible things that happened. 2 years is a big, long time. Why 2 years? Hashem wanted to be kind. He wanted to be kind, do terrible things. Okay. I mean, you have to rush into this. So the Rebbe actually asked this question. And he gives a very interesting answer. You can join us in the Biurim book now on page Memches, Simon Dalet of Parshas Veschanan. Here we have the quote of this Rashi. This business of v'neshantem, of being the gematria of 852, and then Hashem fulfilling this 2 years sooner. Yesh Lishel, the Rebbe asks, Madua hikdim HaKadosh Baruch Hu es HaGolos b'shnosayim. Why did the Golos happen 2 years? If it was about minimizing the effects of the consequence, the catastrophic end of Ovei Tevedun, you'll surely be lost and destroyed. So do it a year earlier. A year is a long time. Why do you have to do 2 years? You know, I do it earlier, 2 years earlier. So make it a year earlier. Make it less. Ha'hezber l'kach. Explanation, my friends, is as follows. Matzino b'parshas Bahar, we find towards the end of Chumash Vayikra, in the parsha which is called Bahar. Over there it says, Hamoicher sdei sadeh l'chaveri. A person sells a field to another. So there's this question about redeeming fields, and fields going back to their ancestral ownership. So the halacha is, if you sell a field, in yocha l'achzer v'ligal oisam imeno kol oid li'avdu shnosayim me'esam mechira. A minimum of 2 years has to go by before you can repurchase the field. Now, obviously, if the buyer wants to sell back, he can redo it next day. The question is, can I force a resale? So we have this concept that since Eretz Yisrael was divvied up amongst the families of the Jewish people, and it was an ancestral possession that they had of the land. So therefore, first of all, every 49 years comes the 50th year of the Jubilee, and everything reverts back to its original owner. That's one halacha. But furthermore, if a person comes back, he doesn't have any money, desperate, sells his family homestead, he sells the estates, and then, would you believe it, he wins the lottery. Something else goes well for him. He says, hey, 1 second, I want my land back. It's my land. My grandparents lived there. Their grandparents lived there. I got money now. The guy says, I just bought it. I made an investment. I know, but I want it back right now. I demand you sell it back to me. You can't do that. You can, but only after 2 years pass. So that means when somebody buys a piece of land, he's guaranteed to be able to have at least two years of harvest. The produce of 2 years of harvest. Otherwise, a person will never do business. You take a risk. You never know. You buy a field, you're going to invest the money, and then you're going to have produce and harvest and so on and so forth. And the guy comes a month later or a week later. So this will kind of grind business to a halt. The reason for this is Muven is understood. The person who bought the field, he didn't do anything wrong. It was fair and square. It was on the real estate market. He went ahead. He made the purchase. He made the investment. He spent his money, his time. It's not fair. The person made a purchase. The person went ahead and went through the transaction. The real estate changed hands. Okay, you know, you have to have menschlichkeit. You have to have a little decency. Let him have an opportunity to at least benefit in somewhat from the investment that he made. Umeshach hazman hadorosh, the amount of time, the minimum amount of time which is necessary, kedei lahachazik besada, in order to, so to speak, grasp the field, take possession of the field. Ulahafik imenu te'elas shomamash, to have some kind of tangible benefit, some kind of real enjoyment in this field. I had a field, I made an investment, let me get something out of it. So the minimum is shnasayim. That's what the Torah says in Parshas Bahar. Less than 2 years, it's nothing even happened. From here we could learn. When it comes to holding, possessing a piece of real estate, less than 2 years is not called ownership at all. It doesn't mean anything. It's so fleeting, because the nature of real estate is such that it takes time to actually turn a profit on a piece of real estate. It takes time to develop a piece of land. And because of that, less than 2 years simply doesn't count. And therefore the Torah says, here's a guy, this is ancestral homeland, it's yours, you got the money now, very nice. However, you have to let the buyer has got to have an opportunity to enjoy his investment, minimum 2 years. So the Rebbe suggests exporting this halacha, this idea of Eretz Yisrael, and utilizing the land and gaining tangible benefit, exporting the halacha from Parshas Bahar, and importing it now, a book and a half later, into Parshas Veschanan, in the business of the Nishantim. Hu adin binyaneinu. Export, import. Take this halacha, bring it over here. Ilu yashuv bnei Yisrael ba'eretz. If the Jewish people had remained in the land, sinfully. B'shmeinu meyas v'chamishim v'achas shana. 851 years. In other words, just 1 year shy. Shana achas b'lvad pachos. Me'atkufa remuza b'milu v'nishantim. From the amount of time, God's expiration date on sinful behavior. The maximum, 852, maximum. Had we remained here for 851 years, then it would have been considered 851 and 852 isn't really much of a difference. If it had been there 851, it would have been like 852 already. Because within a year is not a significant period of time when it comes to real estate. Shekein hevdol shoshana achas, when it comes clearly from, by dint of Torah ordination, by dint of Torah law, the difference of 1 year is chaser mashmos, it lacks in meaning. It doesn't have value. Virtue, when it comes to the concept of real estate and possessing real estate, there's a minimum of a year. It's got to be a year. And if it's less than a year, if it's only a year, it doesn't have any meaning. And therefore, in that case, in order to withhold, to restrain the fulfillment of this terrible promise of v'neshantem, then there had to be, in other words, to restrain the rest of the pasuk, to withhold the rest of the pasuk from happening, to stop the avei tevedun, the absolute destruction. Then the golos had to be accelerated, had to come prematurely, not 1 year, but rather 2 years. Shnosayim. So that our tenure in the land of Israel lasted 850 years, which is shnasayim pachos me'atkufa ramuza, 2 years less than the amount of time in, alluded to and indicated in the word of v'neshantem. And now we know why God in his mercy accelerated the process of the exile. He hastened the consequences and the punishment, ultimately, so that we should not bear the full brunt of Hashem's anger, and that the exile should be an absolute destruction of the building and edifice of the Beis HaMikdash, but not an absolute destruction of the nation of Israel. And indeed, Hashem ensures that even though we have suffered very, very much over the Golos, terrible, terrible, terrible suffering, nonetheless, the nation of Israel lives on, and hopefully, very, very speedily, and in our time, we will merit to return to Tzion with the coming of Mashiach, hopefully before Tisha B'Av arrives tonight. Ubim Heira, Ubim Amenu, Amen.